Curtain Call, I'm Charles Sipos. In today's program, I chat with guitarist and New West Guitar Group founding member Perry Smith. We talk about New West Guitar Group, their recordings, and their Saturday evening appearance at Occidental Center for the Arts. This, up next, on today's Curtain Call. That was New West Guitar Group playing Everybody Wants to Rule the World from the recording Big City. I'm Charles Sipos. Coming up next on Curtain Call, New West Guitar Group founding member Perry Smith talks about the group, their recordings, and their Saturday evening performance at Occidental Center for the Arts. Perry Smith, welcome to Curtain Call.
Thank you, Charles. Happy to be here.
We're here to talk about your group, which is called New West Guitar Group. And yeah. You're a group of virtuoso guitarists who play in this trio now. And it's been different numbers of people over the years, but mm-hmm. now as a trio. And describe the music that you play.
Well, that's a good question. It's really a mix of certain genres. We cover popular songs, we cover jazz standards, and we cover original compositions. And it's all kind of in this vein that we've created over 10 years of playing together. The signature sound of New West is really about combining acoustic guitar with the electric guitar. And I'd say listeners that hear our music, whether it's a cover or an original or a standard, they hear kind of that connection between a really rhythmic acoustic guitar part and traditional lead guitar parts on the electric instruments that are coming out of jazz and rock and R&B and blues. And that's how I would describe it.
Sounds good. So how many electrics and how many acoustics do you use? Or is it a mix depending on what you're playing?
Well, it changes from song to song. That's one of the challenges. But one of the things I really like about the band is that, you know, during a set, we're going to be switching off between acoustics and electrics. But we have four electric guitars on stage with us and usually two acoustic guitars. And the guitars range from hollow body jazz type instruments like Gibson L5 or Gibson ES-175 to like a solid body guitar to steel string acoustic guitars and classical guitars.
Mm. So how do you balance acoustic guitars with electric guitars?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know how much time we have, but that's one of the biggest... That's one of the biggest challenges we face live, because as any guitar player will tell you, getting a live acoustic guitar sound is really difficult when you're performing. It's pretty easy in the studio, but when you're on stage, it's a whole different thing. So we are really fortunate to be endorsed by some companies that really help us out to get the right kind of preamp, which is what we actually plug the acoustic guitar into. And that's a company called Radial. They make a really great preamp that we use. And then we also will all use what are called volume pedals with our feet. They're a pedal that goes on the floor that as you strum the acoustic guitar or as you finger pick the acoustic guitar, you're able to ride the volume with your foot to balance it appropriately for the group. And that's a really key factor in when it comes to balance.
How did New West Guitar Group come together?
Well, it came together through school, actually. Believe it or not, over 10 years ago, founding member John Story and myself were in school together in Los Angeles at USC. And, you know, I'm from Northern California. I'm from Marin. So the thought of me going to school in Southern California, especially USC, definitely frightened my parents and my friends. But, you know, they have a really great music program, and they have for a lot of years. Shelley Berg, who I know you're familiar with, was the head of the music department, the jazz department at USC. And they put us together in a guitar ensemble. It was really just a class that a lot of guitar players took each semester. And John Story and I, we just really connected with this idea of guitar ensemble, and we would write a lot of arrangements of jazz standards and popular tunes and originals, and we just had a lot of early success as a school ensemble, and it kind of carried us into the professional world fairly easily once we graduated.
Hmm. I know that's happened many times with chamber ensembles in classical music schools. And it's really interesting that it happens in the field of jazz and popular music as well. I hear you're steeped in jazz from your description of your beginnings.
Yes.
How did you come to be doing more popular music as part of that? And how does jazz continue to influence your playing?
That's a very good question. So in terms of how the repertoire has evolved over the years, I would say that, you know, it started out pretty traditional. Like you said, the foundation of jazz we were arranging classic songs from the American Great American Songbook and things like All the Things You Are and songs by Miles Davis and John Coltrane. And as a year or two went on, we started to realize that the real passion for us in this group, New West Guitars, is to explore all the facets of the guitar and really bring in acoustic guitar, bring in solid body guitar, bring in different kinds of effects. And that really led us to looking at songs from all different genres where the guitar is really highlighted. So recently we've been covering a song by the great Glenn Campbell called The Wichita Lineman. And part of the reason for that is because when he made that song famous, he was using a baritone guitar, which is kind of halfway between your standard guitar and an electric bass. It's a little deeper than a regular guitar, but not quite as deep as a bass. And it's just a really cool instrument for us to explore something new. And that's kind of how our repertoire has evolved. You know, we don't really try to delineate in terms of jazz music or pop music. It's all just music for us. And I think with that spirit, we've embraced a lot of different genres.
Yeah, I hear that from listening to bits of your latest CD. You have a beautiful sound, and your expert guitarists, you're great musicians, and there's this ease in your playing that is remarkable, even when you're playing very exciting music. And that's all very admirable. And I'm wondering, how do you get that effect? Is it the characters of each of you in the ensemble? Is it how you interact as an ensemble? What produces that?
The ease of playing. You know, it's probably a lot of things. So it's a big question to answer, but I would say that, you know, at this point we've been playing together for over 10 years. So that has a huge element into the familiarity of the playing and how that translates off to kind of sounding like it's a little bit more easy or comfortable for all of us. I mean, certainly when you're playing with new musicians or you're playing music that's very, very new, sometimes it can seem difficult and not that easy, but New West is fairly polished ensemble at this point. You know, we live on different areas of the country. Like currently I live in Brooklyn, New York, and these guys live in Los Angeles. So we don't get to rehearse all the time. We basically get together every month for these tours that we play. But back in the day, you know, when we were all living in Los Angeles, we would rehearse a couple times a week. We were always playing, and we were really trying to figure out a method and a concept to this ensemble. You know, you don't always hear three guitar players. You know, generally, a guitar player is the only guitarist in a band. So we really had to figure out kind of how to interact together and what kind of our concept was for arranging the music the way we do. And the best way I can describe it is just after a number of years of trial and error, this is kind of where we've come to. And so we've developed a little bit of a sound, and I think that comes across as a feeling of like easygoing and what we call laid back virtuosity.
An apt description, I would say.
Right.
How do you create your arrangements? Do you write the music out? Do you have charts? Is it written out in notation? Is it a plan? And what part does improvisation play in the creation of your music?
Cool. Yeah, that's another good question. The good thing about arranging for New West Guitar Group is that we're all guitar players, so we can all play each other's parts, as opposed to when I arrange for other ensembles where I can't really play the flute part, you know what I mean? I do is I'll actually I'll write out all the parts. If I'm arranging a song, like say it's an original song or a cover of a popular tune, I'll write out all the parts. I'll write them down in a score format. I used a computer system called Finale, which is like a notation software. So you don't have to write it out by hand, although I still like to write things out by hand. But I'll write out all the parts, and then I'll usually record it myself so I can hear all the different parts and how they're really setting up. And then I'll make a few
edits. On different tracks.
Yeah, I'll record them on separate tracks, and then I'll be able to listen back to it. I'll usually make a few edits, a couple different drafts. And then when I feel like I have something that is pretty well completed on my end, I'll send it out to the guys, and we'll get it prepared individually, and then we'll show up to the first gig, and we'll have the music memorized, and there we go. And inevitably what happens through the course of playing a new song, after the first month or two that we've added it to the program, we'll make little adjustments here or there, suggestions from group members, or just little things that we notice that we'd like to adjust. And so the music can kind of be influenced by all of us in addition to just one of us bringing it in. Oh, and then you also asked about improvisation, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, being that we're all jazz guitar players, that's a huge passion for us, improvising. And on just about every song that we cover, there's large sections of an improvised solo for at least one member of the group. And I would say that improvising in New West is a little different than some of the improvising that I partake in out in the New York jazz scene. The main difference is that you're kind of trying to solo in a more crafty way. Like you may just have two choruses of the arrangement where you get to take an improvised solo. So you really craft something that is spontaneous and exciting, but also something that's really melodic and serves the purpose of the melody and the overall composition as well. And that's a little different sometimes than the way that modern jazz improvisation is nowadays.
So let me describe this for our listeners. I think what you're saying is that in an arrangement, there's a place, or maybe I should say a time, that you allot for improvisation. And it's typically assigned to somebody. One of the three of you will take an improvisation. Or if all three of you are taking improvisation, where in the plan of the composition that is going to be taking place.
That's correct. Yeah. And the improvisation really is a vehicle for the composition. It's not really in like traditional jazz nowadays, improvisation is more or less the entirety of the song, or at least a large percentage of it. And in New West, usually the improvisation is at most half the song, or maybe it's a quarter of the song. And so our focus is certainly on improvisation, but also on arranging and composing and writing out music for the ensemble. We're very much inspired by classical string quartets and classical guitar ensembles and people that really focus on the written page.
I'm speaking with Perry Smith, and we're talking about New West Guitar Group on Curtain Call. I'm Charles Sipos. Perry, do you all arrange or just you?
We all do, definitely. And in fact, the other founding member in the trio at this point, John Story, he does a lot of the arranging. So he and I share most of the arranging right now. And we just added a new member, a gentleman named Will Brom, who is our third guitarist. And he's very new to the group, so he hasn't done any arranging. He started playing with us at the beginning of 2015. So he hasn't done any arrangements for the ensemble as of yet, but I expect that he will as he becomes more dialed into the group.
So over the years that you've been in existence, you've been a guitar quartet, a duo, a trio. You're now a trio with John Story and Will Brom. Talk about those different manifestations and how that has differed musically for you and the group itself.
Sure, yeah. Well, originally New West, as you mentioned, started out as a quartet, four guitarists, and that's kind of how the ensemble came out of school at USC. When we graduated, there were four people in the group, and at that point, we were still pretty young, and I think a lot of the arranging for four guitar players, there was an element of, you know, really less is more, because when there's four people, you can't all be playing as much as you possibly can all the time. It's just going to sound terrible. So we were writing a lot of smaller little snippets that would make the arranging for four sound really good. After a couple years, one of our members got a really big pop gig, and we decided, okay, well, instead of trying to replace him as a fourth member, maybe we can try to get into the trio format. And we knew about guitar trios like the California Guitar Trio, you may have heard of, and the Montreal Guitar Trio, that had a lot of success as a trio. So we thought maybe we could try this. And it actually really opened up the music in a wonderful way. The three of us at the time were able to kind of explore different kinds of guitar parts that we weren't really ever able to play as a quartet, because we were kind of balancing smaller roles for the collective group. But as a trio, we could expand and play bigger rhythm guitar parts for just one person, and we could write things kind of like you might hear on a recording, like center, left, and right, you know? And that was really exciting for us. That's when I think the sound of the group really developed into what it is today. We were never really a duo. There was just one moment when we were switching out third members where John Story and I did a couple gigs as a duo, but New West has always been a trio or a quartet at the beginning.
Mm. Do you ever play individually or as an ensemble with other musicians, particularly jazz musicians, or do you ever invite other musicians, particularly jazz musicians, to play with you as soloists?
Yes, we do. In fact, our new record, which is coming out on Friday, this coming Friday, features a host of great jazz singers from Los Angeles and New York. So we love to collaborate with vocalists. I think it's a timeless tradition to have guitar and voice together. You know, it dates back as far back as like Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass. And then you have people today like Tuck and Patty that have done great things with it. And it's definitely a tradition that we're trying to carry on. So we're very, very excited. The album is called Send One Your Love, and it's going to be coming out on Friday.
Mm, fantastic. One of my Desert Island discs is called Guitar Trio. It's Paco de Lucia, Al Di Meola, and John McLaughlin, who are three of the greatest guitarists, jazz guitarists anyway, of all time. And I have played that disc so many times. I've worn out CDs even playing that disc. I'm wondering if that disc or any of its siblings featuring the same three guitarists, have inspired you, and if so, how?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes, absolutely. So as I mentioned, you know, I grew up in Tiburon, California, and I remember a CD that I got when I was just pretty early on in high school at Redwood High School in Larkspur was Friday Night in San Francisco, featuring those three guitarists, Paco de Lucia, Al Di Meola, and John McLaughlin. And it was recorded live at Herbst Theater, and I remember playing that CD. One of my high school teachers gave it to me. He was actually my science high school teacher, not my music teacher. He gave me this disc, and I thought, wow, this is some really, really exciting guitar playing. You know, I had never heard anything like that before. And, you know, I was listening a lot to George Benson and Wes Montgomery, and these guys were so incredibly inspiring. They're still huge influences on me today. But listening to that Friday Night in San Francisco disc, I had never heard guitar players play like that together, or just the excitement of it. You know, you can hear the crowd going crazy, and it seems like those three guys had that crowd in the palm of their hands from the beginning of the concert all the way to the end. And those are really the things that we strive for in New West Guitar Group, and in our own way, is to really captivate an audience and hold them in the palm of our hand from the first note to the end. And there's a lot that goes into that. You know, you have to craft your set list right. You got to arrange your songs right. You got to make sure you feature each musician on stage correctly. And certainly Al Di Meola and Paco de Lucia and John McLaughlin nailed that. They really had that. And so it's been a big inspiration.
Do you know the early recordings of George Benson's with brother Jack McDuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, aren't those things amazing? And they, I can't even tell you what the years were, but
that's got to be it's got to be mid-60s or something. He was still playing.
Yeah, early on. I'm looking it up as we speak to see if I can see the original copyright date, but I'm not seeing the original date. I see re-releases. But it's just, it's so amazing the voice he had, even as a young person. And I don't mean his singing voice. I mean his voice as a musician.
It's pretty incredible.
And formed, you know, here in the cauldron of jazz, so much like you were.
It's true. I mean, gosh, that was such a different time. I can only imagine what it was like for George Benson as a young kid to go on the road with Jack McDuff. And it must have just been so exciting for him. I mean, I've heard stories that he would practice all the time. They would be going from one gig to the next during the day in the bus, and he literally had his guitar out, and he would sit under the organ where it was in the back of the bus or the van or whatever they had, and he would just practice the whole ride, driving them all crazy. And then he'd get to the gig and play. So
the organ, you know, of course, being a Hammond B3, which was Brother Jack McDuff's instrument.
Right, yeah.
He was truly one of the great B3 players of all time.
That's true. And it's pretty cool, you know, these kind of stories, they live as like legends in the music community, and they're able to get passed down, you know, from older generations to younger generations. We actually had a great guitar teacher in Los Angeles named Pat Kelly, who worked a lot with George Benson in the 80s as a side guitarist for Benson, and he had a lot of good stories about him.
So where to now for New West Guitar Group?
Well, like I said, we're getting ready to release a new album called Send One Your Love. It features those vocalists. And so we're going to be doing a lot of touring all throughout the country that really is to support that disc. So some of the concerts will be with vocalists from the CD. And some of them will just be as an instrumental trio. And at Occidental Center for the Arts on Saturday, August 15th, it's going to be an instrumental show, which we're really excited about, because with this new CD coming out, we're not doing as many instrumental shows as we were. You know, some of them are coming up right now with the vocalists, which is great. But it's really nice for us to get back and play some shows that are just about the guitar and about celebrating that instrument that we love so much.
Mm. You're talking about being not just musicians, but being performers, and not just performers, but being entertainers, in the sense that you're very aware of your audience, you're very aware of their response, and you're really going for holding them, as you say, in the palm of your hand, as musicians, as performers, as entertainers.
Sure.
Talk about the considerations that you have, the things that you think about, and the things that you work on individually and as a group.
To really connect to our audience.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Some of those things are not, they're not really that like tangible, but you can like discuss them in theory. You know, the great thing about considering your audience and really trying to connect with them is that they give you back so much more than you could ever really like even imagine. You know, like if you give a little bit to them, they give back so much. And it's always a drag to me when I see great musicians on stage that don't want to really acknowledge their audience very much. And what I've found is that when the audience is really engaged with what we're doing, I feed off their energy, you know, and that, and it becomes this wonderful little cycle of like, they're feeding off our energy and we're feeding off their energy, and everybody leaves very happy. So I guess some of the considerations that we have is that A, we're always really prepared for the show. So we're not looking at music. Our music is memorized. So we don't have that as a distraction. We always kind of know what our set list is going to be. We'll make changes during the show, but we always kind of have an idea. Okay, here, these are the 20 songs we're going to play tonight, or these are the 25 songs we're going to play tonight, whatever it might be. And we try to get an order that has a nice flow to it, so an audience member feels like they're on a journey with us, you know, so the songs really connect and take you through peaks and valleys of the show. And then I think the other thing we do is we speak to the audience. So between songs, you know, we'll say a few things about, you know, our experiences on the road this month, or kind of what a particular song might mean to us. And we just try to have fun up there too. We try to add a little bit of humor. You know, going back to that Guitar Trio record you were talking about with Paco and Al and John McLaughlin, there's a lot of humor in what those guys did. You know, they would do little things that like play the theme of the Pink Panther randomly in the middle of a song that would just, you know, cause the whole audience to get in stitches. So we like to do little things like that, just add a little bit of humor, you know, here and there. And then I think the last thing is you just got to make sure that that the guitar playing and the music is so on point, and that individually you're really prepared to put your best foot forward, and audiences really respond to that. You know, if they can tell that an artist is really in the moment and getting lost in their music and developing something exciting or beautiful, they really respond to that. And so I think those are the things that we have noticed over the years connect with an audience. And it's just a really wonderful experience when we're able to do that, because we feel the energy back from them literally while it's happening. It's really cool.
I hear that it's ephemeral, and I hear that you all are on the same page in terms of connecting with your audience. And I'm wondering, is that something that you communicate with each other? Is it spoken? Is it unspoken? Or is it something that's just in the background as you prepare?
That's a tough question. I think these kind of things we've talked about before as a group, but really it comes down to each individual in the ensemble just executing that way, you know. And so sometimes it's not something that we talk about, you know, every show, because, you know, we're all kind of aware of it at this point after so many years of defining the group and defining how we play. But, you know, while you're performing, it's kind of something that you have to focus on for yourself to connect with the audience. It can't be something that's like scripted, if that makes any sense.
It does. Well, we're really looking forward to your performance on Saturday. Yeah. At Occidental Center for the Arts. And it's really a great pleasure speaking with you, Perry Smith.
Thank you, Charles. I really appreciate it. And thanks for taking the time and having me on your show.
Okay, you're welcome. Break a leg.
All right, thank you.
Guitarist Perry Smith is a founding member of New West Guitar Group. They appear in concert Saturday evening at Occidental Center for the Arts. For more information about the concert, go to occidentalcenterforthearts.org. For more information about New West Guitar Group, go to their website, newwestguitar.com. I have a pair of tickets to give away to a listener to New West Guitar Group's Saturday evening performance at Occidental Center for the Arts. Caller number 4 to 584-2020 gets the tickets. That's caller number 4 to 584-2020. Let's listen now to the eponymous track from New West Guitar Group's brand new recording, Send One Your Love, featuring vocalist Gretchen Parlato. I'm Charles Sipos. Join me again next week for Curtain Call. That was the title track from New West Guitar Group's brand new recording, Send One Your Love, featuring vocalist Gretchen Parlato. Let's listen now to more music from New West Guitar Group's previous recording, Big City. This is instrumental, like you'll hear in their Saturday evening concert at Occidental Center for the Arts. For more information about that concert, go to OccidentalCenterForTheArts.org. For more information about New West Guitar Group, go to their website, newwestguitar.com. I'm Charles Sipos. You're listening to Curtain Call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.